words. Help us to recognize often what's commonly taught may not be right. Truth is often stranger than fiction, but yet help us to understand the truth of your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Romans 12 deals with some practical living principles for believers. Romans 13 introduces our relationship with others, including but not restricted to governing authorities. Okay, not restricted to, and I do put that at the top, Christian principles toward governing officials, but it's also, actually it's involved with everybody. Okay, and then chapter 14 is, okay, what do we do with our differences of beliefs? How should we respond to each other? So Romans 13, 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Okay, now let's read that from all the new versions. So see, we're not King James only. I'm going to read from new versions. NIV, let everyone be subject to governing authorities. I'll just go to that far. Living Translation, everyone must submit to governing authorities. English Standard Version, let every person be subject to governing authorities. Berean Study Bible, everyone must submit himself to governing authorities. New King Jimmy, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. New American Standard, every person is to be subject to governing authorities. I tend to think if they are agreeing to disagree with the King James Bible, that's a problem. And surprisingly, one of the most staunch proponents of the King James Bible, Dr. Ruckman, in his commentary, Romans 13, verse 1, he agrees with the new Bibles. Instead of tearing them apart, he agrees with them. And so, is this, verse 1, limited to governing authorities? I don't believe so. Okay, let's say, often if I get in a discussion with somebody and there's a difference of opinion, it's usually solved when they recognize that I'm right and they're wrong. Okay, I get on their side of the fence to take their belief and then analyze it. Okay, so let's agree with all this disagreement with the Bible and say, we are to blindly follow governing authorities or subject ourselves to governing authorities. Okay, that includes the town officials, county officials, state officials, federal officials. Every one of us are breaking it right now. Have you read the ordinances of the town? No. Have you read the ordinances for the state? Have you read all the statutes of the state? I think we got a book, we got a volume set in there. Have you read the federal statutes? We don't have enough shelves for those. Okay, let's go to the Bible and see if Bible characters that God honored subjected themselves to governing authorities. How about Moses' parents? Well, what should have they done if they blindly followed the official? They should have killed Moses, right? How about the midwives? When they were told by Pharaoh to kill the Jewish boys, and they did not, and God blessed them. How about Rahab, who lied to the king of Jericho? How about Mordecai and Esther? How about Daniel's three friends in Daniel 3? They didn't bow to the king's orders. How about Daniel in Daniel 6? How about Jesus, when somebody asked him about taxation, okay, and not following the authorities there. How about the Apostle Peter in Acts 5, where he said we ought to obey God rather than men? How about the Apostle Paul, when he got arrested unlawfully, he got arrested unlawfully, which is kidnapping, and then the magistrate discovered he was a Roman citizen. They were scared to death because He could have, under Roman law, charged them with kidnapping and they would have been in trouble. But he didn't want to take the time. He just wanted to preach the gospel. And he kind of let them sweat it out for a while and then left. And boy, I'm sure they breathed a sigh of relief. Okay, so all of those examples, and there's more that, you know, skips my memory. I do put a bunch in a footnote, so let's kind of skim down there through it and see if I caught all the ones I can recall. Okay, from those people's examples, and they were blessed by God because God does put some bad behavior, immoral behavior of Bible characters. Okay, but in those cases, God blessed them for not blindly obeying governing authorities. Did he not? He did Daniel in Daniel chapter 1. So, and these people that promote this idea, I would dare say they promote this idea out of fear. That's why they do, out of fear. Okay, and we don't believe this. People say you need to obey all the governing authorities. Okay, who went over the speed limit on the way in? Yeah. Do you know the traffic laws fall under Title IX? Do we know that they fall under Title IX and they only apply to government-owned vehicles? Well, they sort of kind of do own our vehicles because we give it to them when we get a license plate. But let's bring that up in court and have fun with that one. Okay, how many of you traveled here or you drove here? There's a difference. Okay, and so law is very precise. I kind of believe that Apostle Paul was some type of lawyer, not on the bad realm, but I think he was some type of a lawyer under the Jewish laws and Sanhedrin because they kind of intermingled together. And boy, when you read some of his words, he's definitely very knowledgeable, especially in Acts 16. When he scared those officials in Acts 16, Acts 22, he scared them to death. And if you're dealing with a government official who has stepped outside of their authority, and when you just kindly ask questions, they will get nervous, especially if you turn a tape recorder on in front of them. And what you could do is, if you're going to have a conversation, ask them if you can record this conversation and take notes. And you stop taking notes and you've asked, and they said, oh, that's fine, thinking you're taking notes, but you do have a recorder going, catching every word they say. You know, and that's just another way of handling things. Okay, and so, and actually in our culture, if a government official steps outside of their authority, people have asked me about our governing a process. Do you believe the government can do wrong? Well, I don't think so. Because if they're under a government position, an official, when they do wrong and they've stepped outside of their constitutional authority, they are doing it as an individual. That's why you could actually say that. And you could sue them in their private capacity because you have a public capacity and a private capacity. And so it's so detailed, it's so complex, and it gets rather annoying. And I know me talking about the law gets annoying. Okay, right, Ainge? Yeah, so she's probably going to walk out. Okay, but with this in mind, going back to Romans 13, what if there's a bigger picture in Romans 13? And I do believe that there is. And I believe the Bible is very specific why it did not write in the text government or governing, even though all the new Bibles disagree with the Bible. So let's try to look at it. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. When they throw in governing authorities, that's an assumption. That's not what that's saying. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We know that's not eternal damnation. Because every time you speed, then you're going to hell and all that stuff. Okay, and so Then verse 3, for the rulers are not a terror to good works. Now there's where a person could bring in governing authorities. I could understand that. But ruler in the Bible is not limited to that. In verse 13 and 14, and actually in that case, in verse 14, he's called a minister of God. And this is why even in the Soviet Union, they will title some of their governing men as ministers of defense. They get that from the Bible. Okay, so what if you have a higher power, what does that imply? Someone's lower, right? So this is implying a hierarchy. I think the big picture, what we're being taught here, is there's a hierarchy in life everywhere you go. There's a hierarchy. There's a higher power, there's a lower power. And the lower power submits to the higher power. If you cannot, Daniel reveals that we can appeal. And then if you are voluntarily under that power, and if it's a voluntary choice to be under that power, you can voluntarily walk away from it. If it's not a choice, like in a family situation, father, mother, children, then you have to operate under Daniel's principles of appealing. So I do believe there's a bigger thing going on here. Okay, notice the word in verse 1, ordained. Verse 2, ordinance. Ordained, ordinance. And let's throw in some more Bible words. Order, orderly. How about border? Fences make good neighbors. Lindsay got me a t-shirt. You know, it's the State Farm thing, like a good neighbor. How's that go? Like a good neighbor? State Farm's there. Mine says, like a good neighbor, stay over there. I kind of like that one. And this is a whole thing about the border wall. The leftists, oh, we should let them in. Yeah, okay, okay, let them to your house. You take them to your house. No, they believe in a border. That's why they got a fence and security around their houses. Border, order. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 11? So I dare say a bigger, more biblical meaning, what Paul is revealing to us here, in our relationships with other people, discern the hierarchy that you are involved with. 1 Corinthians, hopefully I said that, verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Okay, so what's the hierarchy there? Christ, Paul, and then we voluntarily follow Paul. Then he says, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I've delivered them to you. Ordinance. So we got the same wording back in Romans 13, 2. What's the ordinance? But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. So what's the hierarchy there? God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Ghost. That's the hierarchy. And we always say it in that fashion. We always say Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We never say any other way. The Son glorifies the Father. The Holy Ghost glorifies the Son. Okay, let's take that down to the family situation. You have God, Christ, man, woman, children. Now that's not one for the children that you voluntarily chose. The man and wife voluntarily chose, unless it's a pitchfork wedding, you know, but still that's a voluntary choice. So that's the hierarchy. Okay, and then even in children, you have firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, and this plays a role in God's program because the firstborn has certain obligations. And Esau gave them up, and that's part of why God was upset with Esau. And then a dad can actually choose, you know, as far as he wants, you know, firstborn, secondborn, third, as far as inherit and all that stuff goes. So that's a hierarchy. But right now we're sitting in a hierarchy. This is a hierarchy that we have chosen as a church. We have pastor and the deacons and people. Okay, that's a hierarchy. Okay, and we want to come in here decently and in order. That doesn't mean we file in, but we have a protocol that we're following that looks like I'm doing most of the talking. And that's kind of the protocol. Okay? And, you know, sure, in some Sunday school times, you have more interaction. And then you have questions or whatnot. Okay, now after you leave from here, you get in your car. If you got two people in your car, you've got at least a hierarchy. One's behind the wheel and the other's advising. There's a hierarchy. Now, you know, as far, you know, the one behind the wheel decides what's on the radio. Certain things. Or maybe you got this rule. If you got a piece of pie, the one who cuts it, the other one gets to choose the piece. That means the one who cuts it's going to make, that's going to be right dead center. You have these hierarchies. Okay, on your job, if you voluntarily have, you go to a place and you've had an agreement, okay, I will give you my time and service and you're going to give me this. You're bartering is what you're doing. It's not income, actually. It's not income. Somebody calls it income, but it's not income. You're bartering. You want my time and service, and then I will take whatever you offer me, some numbers on a piece of paper. An amazing thing, it works. And if they tell you to do some things that you don't approve of, you can appeal to them. And if push comes to shove, if it affects that business relationship, affects your relationship with the Lord, the higher power should overrule in your heart. And you say, I'm out of here. Okay, when you go to a Christian school, okay, the funny thing in Christian schools is parents voluntarily choose to put the child in school, claiming they're going to obey the rules, and then they buck the rules. If you don't like the rules, don't put your kid in the school. That's the hierarchy. Okay, and wherever you're at in the hierarchy, if you're at the top of this hierarchy, be a gentle leader. If you're at the low, be a servant. I can remember my dad saying, we got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And that's true. Okay, so every situation in your home, every situation, even in some situations, maybe where you have the knowledge and you're the leader, and then in a different situation, the other party's following you, and a different situation, they have more knowledge, and so you follow them. And that's where the higher power comes in. Okay, when you deal with governing authorities, then you have to understand the law of the nation. Okay, when this was written, who was the governing authority over Israel? Rome was. That's why Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And then these Baptists in this country, when you challenge that mindset, well, you need to render to Caesar who things. Where's Caesar in America? And then they'll say, the president. No, he's not. No, he's not. Okay, then we got to figure out the lawful authority in our country versus the lawful authority in Soviet Union or in Cuba or in Brazil or all these other places. So the Lord, I would dare say the Lord is telling us in any situations that you're in any situations that you're in, recognize the hierarchy and then behave accordingly. Okay, in volleyball, usually you will have a judge in a game, an official game. Umpire. What do they call them in volleyball? Umpire? Ref? Ref? In volleyball? Ref? Okay, so that's the authority. But when we play after services, fortunately, we work together and say, let's do it again if it was a controversial call. And, you know, I really enjoy playing a volleyball, and I dare say there's a generally a very pleasant spirit when we're playing, where we compliment each other, who play, make a good play. And if somebody stuffs it in your face, you want to take the ball and jam it in their face, but you do it kindly with love. Okay, and so a friendly competition is what I enjoy in sport. A friendly competition, it's competition, but there's a friendly, maybe a little bit of trash, a fun trash talking. You know, fun, but if you can't dish it out, if you can dish it out and can't take it, you better not dish it out. Now, here's one of them down at Rensselaer. He's always kind of trying to needle me. And I just smiled. I said, children are meant to be seen, not heard. And so we just joke about it. Okay, so I would dare say the deeper full biblical meaning of Romans 13 is to recognize hierarchy. Okay, so when you are a guest on somebody's property, what's the hierarchy? The Bible teaches private ownership, private property. In the Constitution, it was life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. But when you read the documents, when they were debating this, they were debating on life, liberty, and private property. That's what they were debating on. And they chose pursuit of happiness over private property because that encompasses under pursuit of happiness. Who's happy when everybody owns the property the same? They talk about state-owned property. Well, I'm part of the state according to their knowledge, so should I go take all this stuff on the side of the highway? If that's state property, and if I'm state property, and I need some rebar, you know, I got a concrete job, I need some rebar, or just, you know, I don't think they're going to accept that. Okay, but there's a hierarchy in everywhere we go. Okay, even this idea of the mask thing. If we go on their property, now this is another principle that comes in play here where they're trying to manipulate us, and that's where I think that thing about, you know, going on Walmart, you got to follow their rules. Except for that mask thing. Because there's a higher principle going on with that mask thing. You know, I would dare say on something like that. But that's a personal choice everybody's got to make. You know, I have resisted so far, but when I see people out in public by themselves with a mask, I want to say, breathe, man, breathe. Get rid of that thing. It's like, are you crazy? It's fear. It is fear. And I would dare say this interpretation that Romans 13 is strictly a blind submission to governing authorities is built on fear. That's what it's built. And we're not under the spirit of fear. We're not under that. Person said, well, police officer come be, does that bother you? No. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen anybody's property. I'm standing here on a sidewalk with a scripture sign. Does that bother me? No, I'm going to start asking them questions. And then hopefully he gets bothered if he's going to try to step outside of his authority. The very first time we did street preaching in this town, very first time, police officer shows up. I'm standing right in front of where McDonald's used to be. Here he comes right to my side. He says, do you have a permit to do that? I smiled and said, sure do. It's called the Constitution of the United States. He said, well, I know you have a right to exercise your religion. I said, that's what I'm doing. And then he said, well, if you get out in the street, oh, wanted to get the last word, but hey, I want to get the last word. Oh, can I cross the street and get to the other side? Well, yeah, I guess you can do that. I said, thank you very much, officer. See ya. And he left. Kept my testimony with him. Kept my testimony with the Lord. Stood out there and held a scripture sign to please the Lord. Because the Lord said, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Okay, so Romans 13. Let's give some a little bit more scripture on this ordained, ordinance, order, orderly. And then the dark side is chaos. Order out of chaos, but that's a false order. How about Luke chapter 1? Luke wrote this book, Luke and Acts. The author was Luke. And he is laying out the history chronologically from the baptism of from the birth and baptism of John the Baptist through the ministry of Jesus Christ, and he picks up Acts after the at the ascension through the blindness of Israel. And he lays it out in order, and he's writing to a governing official. Verse 3, guy named Theophilus. Luke 1, 3, a guy named Theophilus. Luke 1, verse 1, for as much as many as have taken in hand to set in order a declaration of those things, to set in order, I read that too fast, to set in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses, that sounds like a law, does it not? Evidence. And ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Okay, let's hold your finger here and let's try Acts 1. We're going to come back to Luke 1. Acts 1, verse 1. See if the Luke picks up where he left off. Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise. Sounds like a treaty, doesn't it? The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Same guy. So he's laying it in order. Now, if you go back to Luke 1, verse 8, so he starts off with John the Baptist. And in verse 8, it's his dad. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, they have an order. And if you do a little, and that verse seems so insignificant. But that verse will show you basically when John the Baptist was born. You go back to Leviticus and Numbers, or cross-reference, find out when Zechariah fulfilled his order as a priest, what week it was, and that's when he was told he's going to have a child, and he goes home, and then about a year later, John the Baptist is born. And then you can date it 6 months later, after the birth of Jesus, to the birth of Jesus Christ. In that verse, by the word order. Okay, Acts 21, 24. In 1 Corinthians 14, which is the chapter on tongues, it closes the chapter on tongues, that all things be done decently and in order. You ever go to a charismatic meeting when they're speaking in tongues? It's not in order. You talk about hodgepodge, piece of mess. Go in there. If you take a vacation, try to find a tongue-speaking church and go. They're fun. They're entertaining. Yell and scream as you choose when they're playing the country music, trying to get them all jacked up to speak in tongues. If you just get in the spirit. And if you really got boldness, get in the spirit and say, Pastor, I'm in the spirit. I'm going to give a word of prophecy. And then just lay it out. Just make something up. You know, I mean, just fun. Acts 21, verse 24, Paul said this, them take and purify themselves with them and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Okay, example. If we're on vacation, we go to a church and I hear the preacher's apostate and he's corrected a book and all this stuff. I'm not going to walk up and tell him he was wrong. Unless there's an opportunity that the Lord wants. I got to get a direct impression of God. It's his church. He's the pastor. They ask him to be the pastor. He's following that order. If the people are not going to correct this guy, that's on them. Now, if the Lord arranges at a time where I could gently talk to him, fine. But if not, that's not my calling to go there and cause trouble. Let's try Titus, I do believe. Titus 1:5. I believe that Romans 13 is the deeper meaning of that, is us in our relationships with others and where we fit in that relationship. Titus 1:5. Remember that Titus was a Gentile that Paul led to Christ. He eventually became a bishop or pastor. And this, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. So there's an orderliness that he wants us to be a part of. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. If they're causing dissension, they are walking disorderly, so just withdraw yourself, walk away. And he follows that in verse 7 again, disorderly, verse 7. Okay, and in this context, verse 11, also walk among you disorderly. In this context is they're not willing to work to provide their own living. Okay, but do we see the context? Okay, let's go back to this misconception where it says governing authorities. Okay, what is government? What is it? In our culture, what does government mean? Is that the president? Is it senators? Is it congressmen? Is it a bureaucrat? What is that? It's a legal fiction is what it is. You say it's the law. Who made the law? Did they read it three times publicly as they're supposed to according to the Constitution? If they did not, it's invalid. Everything Biden's doing is invalid, but yet it still progresses. Doesn't it? It's amazing. It still goes on. The guy's a fraud. Okay, and so, but yet things are still marching on as if it was a free and fair election. And there was an insurrection on January 6th. Are you kidding me? When the Capitol Police opened the door and said, come on in, and there's video footage of that, and a bunch of them were BLM members. I mean, and, you know, eventually maybe it will get out, but who knows? The word government, when we have that in our mindset, in people's mindset, when you say the word law, it's almost like people's eyes glass over. It's the law. Really? What's the law? Well, that. Oh, are you an attorney and a judge that you've determined that that's a law? What makes it a law? Who knows? When you begin asking these people questions, they don't know the answers. Government. The word government's found four times in the Bible. That's it. Isaiah 9, verse 6, the government shall be on his shoulders. Whose? Jesus Christ. Twice it's said there. Okay, that's the other time. Isaiah 22:21 is a repeat of Isaiah 9. So three times, the first three occurrences of the word government is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ's millennial kingdom. The next occurrence, out of the five occurrences, it only occurs five times, four in the singular, one in the plural. 1 Corinthians 12:28. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Okay, this is a list of spiritual gifts. God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Okay, now they're dead. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments. Governments? And the governments is a reference to the hierarchy that we have in a church. That's what he's referring to, where a church has a hierarchy, and you need that in order to progress properly. When a church is huge, okay, like First Baptist Hammond, when they had all those buses, I would watch that. How do they don't lose kids? And I'm sure there's times they did. They had to have a masterful organization plan. To have that many people, all these teachers, all that people, they had to have meetings regularly in order to get things to operate smoothly. It was organized. It was orderly. Okay, if they didn't do that behind the scenes, it would be a mess. So no matter how big or small a church is, there has to be some sort of orderliness or hierarchy. Let's try the last occurrence of governments, or government in this context, singular. For, 2 Peter 2, verse 10. Okay, this one says, and when you run down through the context, that seems to kind of, that's the only way to figure it out. And it's dealing when society is falling apart and so bad that God has intervened and brought judgment. Okay, verse 4, worldwide flood. Verse 5, another worldwide flood. Verse 6 and 7, Sodom and Gomorrah. Things are falling apart. And the ones that he's judging, verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. People say, you're anti-government. No, not really. Who despise government? The leftists do. The leftists despise our Constitution. They despise it. They despise orderliness. They despise it that you have two genders. They despise that. And that's the ones God's going to judge. Because they want mass chaos, but they want to be in control of the chaos. And when they set in order from their chaos, that's what the elite do. And they despise government, meaning in the proper sense as God wants us to have it. So in 13, 1 and 2, I don't know if this is ringing true to your spirit, but I'm seeing a bigger picture of what's going on here. That government is, or governing authority, is one of many relationships that we have. But if we recognize this in all areas of life, and then we discover where we fit in, and then do the best we can to be a testimony, whether we're in the higher power, whether we're in the lower power, whether we're in the middle, whether we're the chief, whether we're the Indian, okay, and whether we're at an age, that plays in God's realm. Rebuke not the elder, but entreat him as a father. And I had one of PBI grad, well, Dr. Ruckman said that's limited to the elders of the church. Well, verse 2 shows that it's not. It says, and to the elder, women as mothers. A person's limiting themselves there when they do that. And so you have a hierarchy of age. And so I dare say Romans 13 is really encompassing a lot. And then verse 3, and we'll work on that because we only got 1 minute. And so, because that's the hierarchy back there. And so, is that this ruler thing is not limited to civil authorities. Under the Israeli culture, it will bring in the religious authorities. Okay. Prayer requests.